The Life and Adventures of Nicholas Nickleby by Charles Dickens. Author's Preface. This story was begun within a few months after the publication of the completed Pickwick Papers. There were then a good many cheap Yorkshire schools in existence. There are very few now. Of the monstrous neglect of education in England, and the disregard of it by the state as a means of forming good or bad citizens and miserable or happy men, private schools long afforded a notable example. Although any man who had proved his unfitness for any other occupation in life was free, without examination or qualification, to open a school anywhere, although preparation for the functions he undertook was required in the surgeon who assisted to bring a boy into the world, or might one day assist perhaps to send him out of it, in the chemist, the attorney, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, the whole round of crafts and trades, the schoolmaster excepted. And although schoolmasters, as a race, were the blockheads and impostors who might naturally be expected to spring from such a state of things and to flourish in it, these Yorkshire schoolmasters were the lowest and most rotten round in the whole ladder. Traders in the avarice, indifference, or imbecility of parents, and the helplessness of children, ignorant, sordid, brutal men, to whom few considerate persons would have entrusted the board and lodging of a horse or a dog, they formed the worthy cornerstone of a structure which for absurdity and a magnificent high-minded laissez-aller, neglect, has rarely been exceeded in the world. We hear sometimes of an action for damages against the unqualified medical practitioner who has deformed a broken limb in pretending to heal it, but what of the hundreds of thousands of minds that have been deformed for ever by the incapable pettifoggers who have pretended to form them? I make mention of the race, as of the Yorkshire schoolmasters, in the past tense. Though it has not yet finally disappeared, it is dwindling daily. A long day's work remains to be done about us in the way of education, heaven knows, but great improvements and facilities towards the attainment of a good one have been furnished of late years. I cannot call to mind now how I came to hear about Yorkshire schools when I was a not very robust child, sitting in by-places near Rochester Castle, with a head full of Partridge, Strap, Tom Pipes, and Sancho Panza. But I know that my first impressions of them were picked up at that time, and that they were somehow or other connected with a superated abscess that some boy had come home with in consequence of his Yorkshire guide, philosopher and friend, having ripped it open with an inky penknife. The impression made upon me, however made, never left me. I was always curious about Yorkshire schools, fell, long afterwards and at sundry times, into the way of hearing more about them, at last, having an audience, resolved to write about them. With that intent, I went down into Yorkshire before I began this book, in very severe winter time, which is pretty faithfully described herein. As I wanted to see a schoolmaster or two, and was forewarned that those gentlemen might, in their modesty, be shy of receiving a visit from the author of the Pickwick Papers. I consulted with a professional friend who had a Yorkshire connection, and with whom I concerted a pious fraud. He gave me some letters of introduction, in the name, I think, of my travelling companion. They bore reference to a supposititious little boy who had been left with a widowed mother who didn't know what to do with him. The poor lady had thought, as a means of thawing the tardy compassion of her relations in his behalf, of sending him to a Yorkshire school. I was the poor lady's friend, travelling that way, and if the recipient of the letter could inform me of a school in his neighbourhood, the writer would be very much obliged. I went to several places in that part of the country where I understood the schools to be most plentifully sprinkled, and had no occasion to deliver a letter until I came to a certain town which shall be nameless. The person to whom it was addressed was not at home, but he came down at night, through the snow, to the inn where I was staying. It was after dinner, and he needed little persuasion to sit down by the fire in a warm corner, and take his share of the wine that was on the table. I am afraid he is dead now. I recollect he was a jovial, ruddy, broad-faced man that we got acquainted direct.